My name's Dr. Jane Finn and I'm a microbiologist. I'm talking today about the overuse of antibiotics, or antimicrobials as they're often called, and the serious dangers this poses for the future. We're all familiar with the threat of a post-antibiotic era in medicine. But how did we get to this point? Well, in the decade up to 2010, we saw a staggering increase of 36% in antibiotic use worldwide. As more and more global citizens were able to access them, usually online, we saw uncontrolled consumption during that period. Although recent media stories suggest the general public has finally got the message that antibiotics should be used sparingly, there's still a hard core who want them prescribed for everything. Doctors are now better at resisting their demands, however, for example, when the problem's viral rather than bacterial. This has improved things. For instance, there's been a fall recorded in the overall amount of antibiotics prescribed in the UK in a given four-year period. At first sight, that's welcome news. The data shows that this decrease hasn't had a negative impact on patients with common infections like pneumonia. But we simply don't know yet if it's made any impression on rates of antibiotic resistance. Other data shows that GPs have reduced the amount of antibiotics they prescribe by 13% over this period. Dentists have also reduced their prescriptions by an impressive 20%, but the figure for hospitals is much lower. So it's not an equally distributed decrease, so the picture's more complicated than it may at first appear. Something else complicating the picture is a widely reported medical research paper published recently. This suggested that short courses of antibiotics work just as well to treat most bugs as the traditional longer courses of a week or so. Those conducting trials suggested that there's insufficient data to prove that short courses encourage antibiotic resistance and argued that it's using antibiotics for longer than necessary which increases this risk. The newspapers ran away with the story, however, and sent out mixed messages by suggesting it was okay for patients to stop treatment once they started feeling better. So I'd urge caution. After all, an improvement in symptoms doesn't mean that the underlying problem has been resolved. Also, we can't recommend widespread change on the basis of one article in a medical journal. In any case, as the original authors were careful to stress, the suggestions aren't appropriate for all bacteria-based illnesses, and TB was the example they gave. Indeed, some bugs have proved especially resistant to antibiotic treatment, and the best known is probably MRSA. This came to light when, as a life-threatening condition for patients hospitalised for other reasons, it became particularly tough to treat. MRSA bacteria is notorious for being able to survive for long periods on surfaces like floors, taps, and even fabric. And of course, the fact that healthcare facilities are visited by huge numbers of people means the bacteria spread easily. But studies show that healthcare-associated MRSA declined by about 50% between 1997 and 2011, thanks to things like new guidelines and targets, as well as ward-based contact control and meticulous disinfection procedures. This shows us that, rather than relying on one single action, introducing various initiatives on several fronts can limit the impact of the infection. Turning to other areas of concern, let's look at antibiotics in agriculture and livestock rearing. People might be surprised to learn that, worldwide, the overall quantity of antibiotics used in food production is now higher than the amount consumed by humans. Something which horrifies me is that antibiotics are consumed by animals as a matter of course, simply to prevent problems, or indeed to speed up their growth. This happens a lot in intensive farming, where animals are kept in confined conditions. We've known for years now that this overuse is directly related to resistance in humans, so there's obviously an urgent need for farmers to cut down. So, is there any progress to report? Well, though there's still serious work to be done in places, for example, for manufacturers of antibiotics to stop discharging untreated waste products into watercourses and so on, it's not all doom and gloom. We're finding now that when doctors prescribe antibiotics, they're choosing narrow spectrum ones. These are active only against specific bacteria and so cause less general resistance. And something which is being talked about excitedly in the pharmaceutical industry just now is a therapy which uses bacterial viruses called phages to treat infections, something which was first practiced about a century ago. Antibacterial therapies, whether phage or antibiotic-based, have advantages and disadvantages, and there's still a lot to be learned about the interactions between phage, bacteria, and human host. But maybe the time to take phage therapy seriously is rapidly approaching. Now, before I go on to the next thing.